Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Nun Beis. We're at Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We are continuing in the discussion of Kedushin Mesurin Leviyah Machlokas Rav and Abaye. Fundamental discussion. We're going to be ending it shortly enough. It's the conclusion of the discussion is coming up on Nun Beis Amud Aleph. And so I'll give us like another 10, 15 more minutes of this discussion. And that is that let's say you're a Mekadesh woman. However, you can't consummate the marriage because of halacha. Halacha tells you that you can't be with her. So is that a Kedushin, valid or an invalid Kedushin? That's the machlokes between Rava and Abaye. According to Rava, it's an invalid Kedushin. And according to Abaye, it's a valid Kedushin. This machlok is Rava and Abaye. It's one of the more popular machlokes of Rava and Abaye. There are so many of them throughout Ch'as, but this is popular because this is going to be one of the few times that we pass on like Abaye, not like Rava. Six times in Ch'as that we pass on like Abaye and not like Rava. And it's known through the acronym of Yal Kagam Yud Ayin Lamed Kuf Gimel Mem. And so the Gemara is going to give us the acronym in today's daf. The Gemara actually never goes through what the six are, but in other words, contextually, we pretty much know what the six are. Oddly enough, we have a little bit of uncertainty in terms of one of the six, but this is definitely one of the six, and that is Kedushin She'enim Asurin Labia. So you're a Mekadesh woman, but you can't be with her. Now, as Tosfos points out yesterday, a Kohen marries a Grusha, so that should be Kedusha and Shein and Mr. Labia. In other words, a Kohen's married a Grusha, not allowed to be with her, but meanwhile, the marriage takes place. So why isn't that part of the discussion? So the way Tosus frames the discussion, it's an important framing. We did this Tosus yesterday, but it's so fundamental, I figure I'll go over it again. The way Tosus frames the discussion is that if the Torah prohibits it already, so that doesn't fall in this discussion, meaning a Kohen can marry a Grusha. Now, I want to be even clear. The Torah tells us that a Kohen cannot marry a Grusha, but the Kedushin does take effect, right? I know that's confusing. But Kedushin are Tovstim by Chai V'Lavin. So a Kohen can, when I say can, it doesn't mean permitted, but can meaning it is effectual. A Kohen's Kedushin with a Grusha is, in fact, effectual. And it doesn't fall under this whole discussion because that's something that the Torah already prohibited. Our discussion over here is through the Kiddushin, you now create a halachic problem. What are the examples? So the examples are many, and it all goes back to our Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah that we did just a couple days ago? We're still in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is found in Nun Amud Beis. HaMekadesh Isha Vita Uisha V'Achosa. So, ka'achas, you're Mekadesh, a mother and daughter at the same time. You're Mekadesh, two sisters at the same time. So, over there now, the Kedushin is not going to take effect. That's what the Mishnah told us. And why not? So, Rava will confidently say, I'll tell you why not. Because you can't consummate the marriage. You are not allowed to be with either one of them. Either one of them is now a Suffolk Irva. And so, therefore, because you can't be with either one of them, therefore, the Kedushin doesn't take effect with neither of them. That's how Rava's interpretation of the Mishnah. Now, Abaye gave a counter interpretation of the Mishnah. That was yesterday's stuff. That I'm not going to go over right now. But in other words, Abaye and Rava are litigating how to interpret and understand our Mishnah.
Isn't a Grusha a Nerva to a coin?
No. Good question. The answer is no. Okay.
Why isn't you can marry one but not the other? I mean, you marry the mother, then.
Well, the mother by herself is just called a woman.
So you can marry her, but you can't marry they're both us.
There, in other words, the issue is when you're yeah. trying to marry both of them.
Yeah.
Each one of them by themselves is fine.
Right, but you can't marry simultaneously. You can marry.
No, you're not allowed to marry. You're not
one
allowed
of them has to come first. I mean.
Okay. In other words, right. But the Mishnah's example is where you marry both. You're attempting to marry both simultaneously. The Kedushin doesn't take effect. It's just an explanation of why is
There's
that.
There's no error that exists by marrying one. One correct. Or the other.
Correct.
By marrying them both together, you're creating the erva.
Okay. Let's continue. We got a lot to cover today, Tashma. So we are now on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and we are about half of the way down on the Amud. There is a period over there. Take it back. No, there's a period over there. Yeah. So Tashma. So Mishi Yeshlo Shei Kite Banos Mishi Nashim. So let's say you have two daughters from two wives. Well, two daughters being produced from each of your wives, four in total. Did we do this yesterday? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did that yesterday. Tashma. Okay. We're moving ahead one more station. Okay, Tashma. still a Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Okay, let's do it again. There is a period over there as well. Okay, so Tashma Misha Kiddush Achas Mishtei Achayes Ve'en Yodea Eiza Kiddush. Notice in Get Lazu V'Get Lazu. So this is a this was taught to us in Yavamas. So what you did is you married one of two sisters, and you don't know which one you married. Mm-hmm. I know that's strange. I know. The let's just to make it sound a little bit easier. You did it via shliach. Shliach came back to you. Wow. Look, in other words, I went to that family. Two lovely girls, both of them sisters. So I elected to marry one of them for you. Which one? Okay, and then comes a miscommunication. All right, whatever the case is. So miksha kiddush acha mishe achas v'ni odei zamem kiddush nosin get lazu v'get lazu. So now, all right, what are we going to do over here? In other words, we want to extricate yourself from this situation. So you give a get to each one of them. So the Gemara says, hacha b'maiskin kishahukur ulusof nitarva. Now, this is a question on Rava. All these, by the way, are questions on Rava. Meaning throughout the entire discussion, Rava's position gets challenged. Abaye is pretty comfortable throughout this entire sugya, and probably one of the reasons why we passed like Abaye. But I'm ahead of my skeezer right now. We'll get back to that point a little bit later on. Meanwhile, over here, so what happened? You married one of two sisters. You don't know which one. You certainly can't consummate the marriage. In other words, halacha prohibits you from being with either one of them because each one of them is a suffix of achos ishto. And yet, the kedushin takes effect. How do I know that? Because you have to give them both a get. So the Gemara says, hacha b'maiskin kishahukru levasof nitarfa. So the Gemara says, yeah, we're going to do what we did yesterday. And that is that at the time of kedushin, you knew. The confusion occurred only thereafter. So Deganami, please, just wait 1 second. Deganami diktani enio deavalo kitani enio adua. Textually, that makes sense. Because it says enio yodea. We currently don't know, but it means historically we knew. Ihachim alamemer, so the Gemara says, okay. So then what's the chiddush? So sefer it's the rechle. Well, I need the following, and that is mace. Let's say the Mekadish dies. And velo achechad. And he's got a surviving brother, Cholitz. So now the surviving brother, possibly zikad to one of those two. Well, I'll say it even a little bit clearer. Definitely zikad to one of those two. We just don't know which one. So he has to perform chalitza to either one of them, to both of them. So hayulo shnayim. Now let's say there were two surviving brothers. So echad cholitz v'echad miyabim. One does chalitza and the other one does yibum. Im kadmu v'kansu. Now if the two brothers do yibum, so ein motzino sam yadam bidi evad, that's going to be fine. So dafka machlis v'hadu yivume, but that's only where you go in the order of chalitza yibum. I mean, two surviving brothers, one does chalitza and the other does yibum. Ava yibum v'hadu mechletzlo, but not the other way around. Dekapaga ba'achos dekukaso, because what you may end up doing is marrying achos dekukaso, the sister of your zekuka, which is rabbinically forbidden. Okay, now that yibum discussion, by the way, I did go through it quickly. I didn't explain it super well. Back in Yavamos, we did this in much greater detail, much better. But the point of all this is that we defended Rava by saying, at the time of Kedushin, you knew, the confusion only occurred thereafter.
So the example you gave is if someone else actually did the, you know, did
agent,
the
agency. Agent.
But somebody knew, the person received the money. Why do you have to give a divorce to both? Why can't you just figure out which one it is? Somebody has the knowledge.
Okay, you're so pragmatic and I love it. In other words, so just we know, and so why can't we just figure it out? So good. So if
it also creates other problems.
Perfect. So assuming you're right, so then you can ignore the last 5 minutes of our discussion. Not even 5 minutes. God bless you. You're so pragmatic. But over here, assuming the Gemara just is getting us into the halachic discussion of what if you don't know. Okay. In other words, practically,
if you don't really know, if there's a question on which one,
perfect.
But there is not a question.
Good.
Shlia.
Okay. Good. I love it. Tashma shnayim shekishu she'achayah. So over here, so this is another mishnah Yavamos, and all we're going to do over here is just make things more complicated. The mishnayos in Yavamos, there's a reason why Yavamos has a reputation of being so difficult because it is difficult. It's a difficult masechta, right. And so over here now, all we're doing is same scenario. But we're just introducing another man in the scene. But it's going to all be the same point, just with more complications. So shnayim shekishu shtayachai zeinu yodei zekiddush v'zeinu yodei zekiddush. So now you have two men. These two men are not brothers, but it doesn't matter. I mean, of course it matters. But I'm saying these two men are not married. So these two men are not brothers. And now they're going to be mekadesh these two sisters. And again, confusion ensues. We don't know which one married which. So Zeno saying Shnei Gittin, Zeno saying Shnei Gittin, and over here, what do we do now in order to extricate everybody from this situation? So each one of the men now has to issue two Gittin to these two women because, again, these men may be married to one either one of them. Now, now we already know what the Gemara is going to do. It's an attack on Rav because according to Rav, the Kedushin never should have taken effect. You're marrying somebody, you don't know which one you married, and you can't be with her, so the Kedushin should never get off the ground according to Rav. So the Gemara says the case under review, like we said just moments earlier, is where you knew, but then they got mixed up afterwards. The Gemara says, and look, it's not just a forced answer. Eina yodea means we currently don't know. Previously we knew. And again, if that's true, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is mesu. So now these two men died, and now it gets complicated, right? If we were to do this well, I would chart everything out, or we would all be looking at that picture book together. Okay, I'm gonna speed us right through this. Now, v'lezeach, each one of them having surviving brothers, zecholitz l'shem v'zecholitz l'shteim, each one of the surviving brothers will be doing chalitza to both of these sisters. L'zeach v'lezeach shnayim, let's say, one of the men had one surviving brother, another of the men had two surviving brothers, were on the very top of nun beis, amadalav echad cholitz l'shem v'shnayim, echad cholitz v'echad miyabim. So now one is going to be doing chalitza to both, and the two surviving brothers, one will do chalitza and the other will do yibum. In kibum v'kansa in motzianu sam yadam. If of the two surviving brothers of the one, they both marry, so then that's fine. Bidyeved. So dafka michlas v'adu yivumei v'adu michlaslo. It has to specifically be in the order of chalitza then yibum, not yibum followed then by chalitza. It's the kapaga b'yavam b'lishuk because we are then possibly violating the issur of yibum l'shuk. Okay. Again, I know I did that quickly. Back in Yavamos, you want more of that? Go back to Yavamos. I probably recorded on that. Either way, the point is that we defended Rava. So Tashma. Okay, here we go, and now we are finally arriving at the end of the discussion. So did Tana Tavyumi. So Tavyumi is the name of a chacham. So Lezech Hamishabanim, Lezech Hameshbanos. So two families getting together, and what a shidduch we're making over here. So the father of five, the father of five, father of five boys, father of five girls. And the Amar. And now the father of the son said to the father of the daughters, Achamim nosechem ukudeshos achami banai. So no. Okay, so one of your girls is going to marry one of my boys. Okay, good. So call achas v'achas tricha chamisha gitan. So now, over here, obviously we are dealing with a scenario, we don't know which one. Okay, well, so strange, right? In other words, like Alan said moments earlier, like in other words, this is a pretty serious topic over here. We're talking about marriage. Like, you want to be clear about which one's marrying which? Again, obviously, from a pragmatic standpoint, yes. In other words, the Mishnah over here, it's a Brisa, is just going over, reviewing what happens now when confusion ensues. And now, with confusion, so what do you want to do? You need extrication. So you want to get everyone out of the situation. So what you need to do is call achas v'achas, everyone. So so every one of the daughters is going to be needing to receive a get. So meisachad mehem. Now, what if one of the brothers dies? So call achas v'achas tricha arba gittin. So each one of them is going to require four gittin and chalitza meechad mehem. Follow them a chalitza of one of them. And again, the dynamics over here, you just have to plot out what happens after the four gittin are issued and why only one of the brothers has to do chalitza. Again, it's complicated, but if you were to slow everything down and look at it much slower than the way I'm presenting it right now, you'd see everything clearly. Now the Gemara says, okay, we're trying to defend Rava. Now again, what's the question on Rava? It's the same question every time. Here we are in a situation where he's possibly Mekadesh. Well, he definitely is Mekadesh to one of them. We don't know which one of them. They're sisters. So he can't be with any one of them. Each one of them is a possible Achos Ishto. And so therefore, we're looking for solutions of let's get out of this situation. According to Rava, the Kedushin should never gotten off the ground. Again, it's a Kedushin She'ina Mesurin Labia, and therefore there's no Kedushin. So problem solved according to Rava. Why are we issuing Gittin? Why are we issuing Chalitzas? So the Gemara's response is, and I know that move of yours. I know you want to try that out. Where at the time of Kedushin, we knew, and the confusion only occurred afterwards. So the Gemara says, Well, that's not true, because look at the way it was formulated. One of my sons, one of your daughters. The confusion occurred right there at the beginning. So Tiyufta Derava Tiyufta. So the Gemara says you're right. In other words, over here, the Kedushin is obviously recognized. There is a Kedushin, and therefore that speaks to the position of Abaye. In fact, once you see this Braisa, basically we have no way out. Rava's position is in fact refuted. And the Gemara just adds one more note on this discussion, and that is the halacha follows like Abaye in six cases, Ya'al Kigan, Yud Ayin Lamed Kuf Gimel Mem. Rashi over here succinctly goes through the six cases. We're not going to do that right now. Tosas over here also goes through the six cases and takes issue with Rashi's identification of one of those six cases. See the second Tosas for that discussion over here. Again, I'm not going to go through that right now as well. Yeh Shalomi Das. Very good. Right. Very good. Okay, we continue. Maisa b'chamish nashim. We go all the way back to our Mishnah that we that was on Daf Nun. We're on Nun Beis. And we are going to now be covering some of the details regarding the Mishnah. You remember the Mishnah. So the man wanted to marry five women. Okay, look. Five women. Wow. It seems to be a lot of wives. The problem in the Mishnah was, as of those five women, two of them happened to have been sisters. So now, Ma'isa b'chamesh nashim. Now, let's go over some more of the details that were presented to us in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah gave us a whole bunch of details that are not really relevant to the point that the Mishnah is trying to make, but it's an incident. In other words, it was an episode that actually occurred. And let's go over some of those details, which means that let's go over the Mishnah once again. So Ma'isa b'chamesh nashim, I'm just right now reviewing the Mishnah. So there were five women, two of them were sisters. And what happened was a basket of figs was being collected, and Vishalahen Haisa belonged to them. Vishal Shvias Haisa, it was Shemitah, and Va'amar Harikuchem Kudashasliba Kakalazu. He then presents the basket to them and says, I want to be Mekadesh, the five of you, with this basket. Vikiba Achas Mehmalide Kulan. One accepted it on behalf of all five. So the Mishnah says, Amr Chacham Emen Achayis Mekudesha. So he's got three wives. The two sisters he's not married to, but he's got three wives. Okay, good. Not bad. Not bad for a day's work.
3 out of 5 is a pretty good odds.
It's pretty good. 3 out of 5 days. Okay, now. Amr Rav Shlomi Namasis and Arba Venakit Rabbi Adei Tlas. Now, four halachic takeaway points from our Mishnah. Good. So we are going to now walk away from this Mishnah with four halachic conclusions. Rav settled on three halachic conclusions, right? Rav did not like the fourth. We're going to get to all four of them.
I just don't understand why the one woman can accept for all.
Okay, we're getting to that. Okay, good. So Shmami Namikash Beperish Shvias Mekudesha. So point number one of the Mishnah, right? A takeaway point is Perish Shvias. Okay, so having not living in Israel, so we do not have the proper sensitivities to this idea of Perish Shvias. And during the Shemitah year. So during the Shemitah year, not allowed to work the field, got it. And you have to cancel loans at the end of the year, got that as well. But the fruit that do grow during the seventh year, remember, in other words, trees produce fruit every single year. And during the Shemitah year, it's not going to be different. They're going to produce fruit. The fruit that grow in that seventh year have Kedusha, they have sanctity. Not like the Kedusha of Truma. In other words, the Kedusha of Truma is a really significant Kedusha. That Truma can only be eaten by Kohen, only in a state of Tahara, etc., etc. The Kedusha by Perish Shvias is not as Kadosh. In other words, you and I can eat it. All of us can eat it. It just happens to be that the only way that you could properly, quote unquote, dispose of it is only via eating. Le'achla v'lo l'schara. You can't do commercial activity with those Perish Shvias. You can't sell them. The only thing you're allowed to do is you're allowed to eat them. Okay, now, there are other rules that are governed by Kedusha's Perish Shvias, but for our purposes right now, that's enough. Wait, hold it. One thing at a time. So let's stick on the fruit. Let's stay on the fruit. So now with this fruit in question, so you take the fruit that have Kedushas, Perish Shvias, and you use it now as the vehicle of Kedushin. You go over to a woman, you say, I want to be Mekashka with this Perish Shvias. You and I would have thought, I'll speak for myself, I would have thought, wait one second, the only thing I could do with it is I can eat the fruit. I can't use it for commercial activity. Doesn't this fall under the category of commercial activity? That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that it's not considered commercial activity. I'm going to read Rashi. Well, Rashi, I'm sorry, Ella came in the Zachbe Mamonahu Lechol Davar. Okay, so first and foremost, Rashi points out it's yours. Meaning when you collect Perishvias, they do have sanctity, but in terms of an ownership and who is the proprietor of that fruit, you are. That's an important point. In other words, obviously, when you're Mekadesh a woman, you have to take something of yours and give it to her. So point number one, it's yours. And then Rashi says, Inami delotem alachla amarachman v'lola davar achir. Ah. And now Rashi gets to another consideration, which I already highlighted, but we're reading the Rashi. And that is that, what can I do with pear shvius? I can eat it. I can't do other things with it. I can't commercialize it. I can't make profit out of it.
What about an escrow?
Great question. Right now, let's just focus on the Kedushin. So in other words, so I can't be Mekadosh woman with it, right? So no, you can. Now, here's the part where I get a little bit stuck, I have to admit. Why? Meaning if the only thing you're allowed to do with the fruit is eat the fruit, and consumption of the fruit is the only thing that you could do, so why are you allowed to take the fruit now and be Mekadosh a woman with it? So I have to admit, I'm a little bit stuck. But I suppose the idea over here is that marrying a woman is not a commercial activity. In other words, la'achla v'lo l'schara. So you can eat it, you can't do commercial activity. So this marriage business...
Okay, this is a transaction, though.
That's where I get stuck. I'm telling you, I'm a little bit stuck.
There's an acquisition, there's a transaction.
Good. I'm trying...
No, it has a value.
But you can eat it.
It has
okay.
no value.
Of course it has value.
She can eat it.
Okay,
it
fine.
Value. You can't sell it. There's no value to it.
What you can eat it.
You can, but that's value...
Okay.
It's an asset
with restrictions. You're correct. You're correct. You can't sell it, but it is definitely is an asset.
I guess the question is, if it's an escrow, can you use it for a mitzvah?
Your questions are good.
It has more value.
Right. Correct. But as far as the Gemara is concerned, so you could be Mekadosh woman with it. So that's a chiddush. And again, as you can hear right now, right? It's definitely a chiddush. Good.
So now, the question is it kedushin? A transaction, a business.
It absolutely is a transaction. It's a kinyan. Since day number one of the Masechta, we described it as a kinyan because it is.
Kinyan has an exception here.
It's an exception over here. So
that's the reason.
Good. Okay.
How do you value the ship?
Let's go on. I love the question. I'm also into the question, but I'm also into finishing the daf. Shmamina, thank you. Shmamina kisha begezal nimakudesh. And on top of that, you're right. So the. So Shmami Nakisha Begezal and Mekadeshes. Now, another point over here, right? Yeah, no. We're on the right. I thought I skipped a point. We didn't. Okay. In addition to that, if let's say you steal with Gezel. Okay, you steal an item. Okay, now, obviously, that's not right. Obviously. Right, let's make one of the more obvious points of this morning. And but nevertheless, so after you stole an item, so you obviously have an obligation to return and reimburse. But let's say you decide, no, you know what? I'm going to marry a woman with my stolen item. So the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin. So Ve'afilu Begezel Dida, and even something that was stolen from her. So the, so over here, so we're learning that from our Mishnah. So Mimai, now how did you get to that conclusion from our Mishnah? Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Mi Diktani Shalem Aisa V'shal Shvias Aisa. So we know that the basket belonged to them, and it was Shvi'is, the Taima, the Shvi'is, the Efkahu, had the Hashar Shnei Shavu alone. So the Gemara says, there's a reason why the Mishnah elected to give this particular example, a pair of Shemitah. A pair of Shemitah is Hefker, meaning who is the owner of that pair of Shvi'is? Nobody is the owner of that pair of Shvi'is. Somebody comes and takes it. They've now become the de facto owner because they're taking it from Hefker. Ah, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Meaning that if I didn't take it from Hefker, if I took it from somebody who owned it, that makes me a thief. I couldn't be Mekadosh with that item. So that's point number two. You cannot be Mekadosh with Gzela. Okay, why is that a Chiddush? Meaning, isn't that obvious? Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. And then point number three, and Alan already intuited this point. And that is that isn't it funny that now one is accepting on behalf of her and on behalf of the others. You know, the others are going to be co-wives. You know, co-wives don't get along. Okay?
Yeah, it's,
yes, that's correct. Co-wives don't get along. And now I'm going to be serving as an agent of somebody who I'm going to have a relationship of animus with. And that's a chiddush as well. So far, chiddush number one is that I could use Peres Shvias for the kedushin, for the vehicle of kedushin, even though I'm really restricted in terms of what I could do with it. Number two is that I cannot be mekadesh with gzela. That's why the Mishnah gave us the example of Shvias, because it's hefker. And number three is that a woman could go ahead and accept and receive and serve as an agent on behalf of somebody else, even if that somebody else is going to end up being her co-wife.
I guess unless you steal it from her and she agrees to let you have it.
Oh, okay, good. Well, if she agrees, so then that's not theft.
Well, it is theft. You stole it from her.
Okay, all right, let me. I need to go on. Be'idach ma'yi. Now the Gemara says, okay, that was three. Now we know there's a fourth one because that's how it was promoted. The promotion was that there are going to be four. So the Gemara says, Kedushin Shem Masur and Labia. So the Gemara says, Kedushin Shem Masur and Labia, obviously, is going to be the fourth conclusion. Now, Now, Rav, why didn't Rav want to use our Mishnah as a platform for this position? So the Gemara says, because Rav didn't know which way to hold, like, did he hold, to hold like a buyer or to hold like Rava? Now, again, just to be clear, by the way, right, if Ben were sitting right here, he would remind me, but I got this one. So, and that is that Abai and Rava are generations after Rav. Two generations, but still. In other words, Abai and Rava are after Rav. Rav wasn't sure which way to go, like Abai and Rava. So what we're going to say, which is obvious, is that Abai and Rava are litigating a point that's been litigated for generations. Meaning, Kedushin She'ein Masurim Labia, is a Kedushin, yes or no? So the way we're hearing it is through the lens of Abai and Rava. But obviously, this is an issue that was discussed and debated in the Beis Medrash for years, generations. And so when Rav was sitting in the Beis Medrash, they were also talking about Kedushin She'ein Masurim Labia. And now it just happens to be that we get it through the filter of Abai and Rava. Anyway, Rav didn't know which way to go, Abai and Rava, and that's why he left that out of the discussion. Kisalik Rabbi Zera goes up to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone remember, everyone recall. So Rabbi Zera for a long time wanted to make Aliyah, right? And his Rebbeim told him, don't do it. And he went and did it. Now, I know that sounds funny, but that's what happened. Okay, and obviously more details, but not for now. So, Kisalik Rebbe Zera, Amar Leh, Lashmaita, come into Rav Yochanan. So, the Amar Leh, Miyamar Rav Hachi. So, now, Rebbe Zera goes over to Rav Yochanan. Now, remember, Rebbe Zera had all of his learning. In other words, his roots were in Bavel. He learned in the yeshivas of Rav. And now, after Aliyah, now he's sitting in the base measure of Rav Yochanan, and we're going to get a lot of this. And that is Reb Zera's repeating to Rav Yochanan, here's what I learned back in Bavel. And here's what Rav said. So Amar Leh, mi Amar Rav Hachi, Rav Yochanan was astounded. Did Rav really say that? So the Gemara says, Vehulo Amar. Now wait 1 second. Rav Yochanan's astounded as if to say, like, I don't agree. But the Gemara says, but we know Rav Yochanan agrees. Vahamar Rav Yochanan. Lo nisyashu abalim, shneim einem cholon lahakdisho. Sorry, I skipped an important word. Gezel. You steal an item. And the owners did not have Yeush. So Shneim and Echon Lahakdisho. Neither can be Maktish. The owner or the Ganav cannot be Maktish. So Zelefi Shena Shalav is Zelefi Shena Bereshuso. In other words, the as far as the Goslin is concerned, he doesn't own it. He can't be Maktish it. And right now, as far as the victim is concerned, he can't currently be Maktish it because it's not in his Reshus. It's not on his property. So Hachi Kamerle. Now, what comes out clearly over here is that if I steal something via Gzela, it's not mine. And therefore, I can't be Mekadesh a woman with it. So teaches us Rabbi Yochanan. And so over here, so why is Rabbi Yochanan saying, I can't believe Rav is saying it? So the Gemara says, well, what we have to do is we have to hear him correctly. Hachi kamarle mi'amar Rav Kavasi. In other words, he was astounded, but not as a challenging astounded, but rather as a, oh, wow. I said the same thing as Rav did. In other words, that's the way to interpret Rav Yochanan. Okay, nemeitz ve'kisha begezel bechamas v'gineva shechatav selamiyada v'kiddusha so mikudeshes. So the Gemara says, so over here in the Brisa, I steal and I'm a kaddisher. The kedushin is a good kedushin. Again, let's just make the obvious point. We're not condoning the activity. We're just focusing right now on the result, on the yield. And that is that the kedushin is in fact a valid kedushin if done. So Hasan Begezel Dida. So we're describing over here where you stole it from her, right? Alan just pointed this out. That what if you stole it from her? So the so Hamid Diktani Sefer Shechatav Selam Yishalam Michlal the Reisha Begezel Damaskin. Yeah, but did you read the Brisa? Read the Brisa again. The end of the Brisa certainly is talking about where you stole it from her. However, the first cases in the Brisa don't seem to be talking about that. Perusha kamer farish kisha begezah bechamas v'geneva ketzah kagosha chadav selam yidav v'kiddusha bo. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, but you could read the Braisa the way we just suggested, and that the first part of the Braisa is really an interpretation, the second part of the Braisa is really an explanation of the first part of the Braisa. Now, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, didn't you steal it from her? And Rav says that Kedushin is not a Kedushin, so lo kasha hadasharach hadaloshadach. So the Gemara says, okay, so what you have to do is you have to look at this contextually. You have to look at it contextually. Meaning that, let's say you and her were already negotiating the marriage. Okay, shiduchin. Again, I've made this point already numerous times, so we get to make it again. Shiduchin, when the Gemara uses it, is not the same way that we use it. We use the word shiduchin in terms of looking for a woman. Shiduchin, when the Gemara describes it, you found her. You're just now negotiating. You're negotiating, usually back in the time of the Gemara, the families were negotiating. So shiduchim means that already marriage was under negotiation. Okay. So now, if there are shiduchim, you're already negotiating, and now what you do is, hey, give me that, and you take it from her. And now you give it to her for the kesef kedushin, she receives it, so the kedushin's valid. Why? Because here's what we're going to assume. Look, I know it's strange, and you know, if somebody over there would be coaching the young man over there, we'd probably tell him that's not the best way to start off the marriage. Wait one second. Let me first spell it out. So, but if there were shiduchim and we're talking marriage and we're negotiating marriage, and I take something from her and I say I want to be mikashi with this, and she receives it, here's what we're going to assume. What we're going to assume is that she let it go. Yeah. She let it go and she wants the kedushin to take effect. I know, right? I knew you and I were thinking the same thoughts. So good. So that's if there were shiduchim. Now, if there were no shiduchim, I go up to a strange woman, I take something from her. So under those circumstances, so then it's not going to be good. Okay.
Well, either way, if you take it from her and you give it to her for kedushin, if she accepts it, either way, whether you were discussing it or not, either way, she's accepting the kedushin, knowing that you stole that item from her.
Right. So that's a fair point. The Gemara's conclusion seems to be pretty clear, very clear. Right. That when there were no shiduchim, there was no negotiation. So then it's a davrik zela. And you can't use it for kedushin. I hear your point, but the Gemara is very clear. You're right. Good. Right. I was also thinking. Right. Very good point. Okay. Gemara tells the following story. We're going to get a couple stories over here. Three stories in succession, and then that's it. And then we. I was going to take my nap, but in other words, no. Then we go daven. The Aisus Davikam Masha Karabim Mishkal Adamai, story number one. A woman was washing her feet in a bowl of water. I know that's a funny detail. So also Gavra Chatov Zuzim Echavre Vishadala. So what happened was is that a man takes some money, right? It could be the detail over here is that he saw the feet and, okay, in other words, he was beholden. So anyway, so what he does, he grabs some money from his friend. Hey, give me that. And he throws the money at her. And Amrla Mikadashta Li. And he proposes to her a proposition of kedushin with stolen money while she's washing her feet. That is a funny story. Anyway, also Gavra Kamid Rava. So, but the point over here is that we want to know what the halach is. Amr Leis Techashle the Rabbi Shimon. Amr Sam Gzeli Yish Balam Hava. So over here, finally, we get to hear what's the consideration. The consideration is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. What is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon? The sheet of Rabbi Shimon is as follows: if you steal in broad daylight, Gzela. So if you steal in broad daylight, Rabbi Shimon says, okay, the item now is yours. Now, we all know this, but I just want to make sure that we're all clear about this. Meaning the item is yours, what you did was wrong, what you violated the Torah, you can't testify, you can't serve as a judge. Meaning that was criminal activity. So we're not decriminalizing. All Rabbi Shimon is saying is that we're going to assume right now that yesh occurred. Because you are so strong. And so confident that you just took it from the man at that point in time is going to surrender the item. It's what's called yeush. And so therefore yeush occurs according to Rabbi Shimon, and stam, gzela, results in yeush. The item now is yours. You are a criminal. You have every obligation to pay back that which you stole, but the item is yours. That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. If that's true, so now the kedushin should be a valid kedushin. Okay. I would advise her, by the way, not to marry said man, but that's not the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is that the Kedushin is, in fact, a valid Kedushin according to Rabbi Shimon, and Rava's point is, Nobody subscribes to that viewpoint. When I say nobody, meaning that's not the halacha. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to that viewpoint, but that is not the accepted halacha. How are we? So we're up to story number two. Dekash ben Moshe de Shamche. Now, there was a sharecropper, and he's out in the field, and he's working the onion field. And so what does he do? He takes some onions. And also and Kaddish ben Moshe de Shamche. And he was Makash woman with those onions. Now, what hasn't happened yet is distribution. In other words, when you're a sharecropper, so what are you doing? You're going to work in the field, and after you bring in the harvest, after you bring in the yield, so then we're going to have an allocation, right? I'm working for a percentage I'm going to get, right? How much you're getting? Whatever the negotiated amount is. 30.
The onion doesn't necessarily belong to him.
Perfect. So over here now, so what he did is he took an onion prior to distribution, and he used it to be Mekadesh. So also coming to Ravan again. The one who was asked this question was Ravan Amar Le Man Achalach. So Rava's response is exactly what Alan just said. So who was Mochel? So in other words, Vahani Mila Ben Moza. Now that's when the onions were scattered. Aval Kisha. But if let's say whatever was being harvested was already bundled, so now Matzi Amar Le Ana Shakli Kisha Shakal At Kisha Kisha Ki Kisha. Real tongue twister in today's daf. Anyway, if now let's say the onions are bundled up, so we now have quantitative ability. We're able to count 1, 2, 3. The bundles are all packaged in a set amount. So now we have amounts, and I know what I'm going to get, even though it's pre-distribution, but because we know amounts, so therefore I can go in and take a bundle. Every bundle I take, obviously a bundle is going to go to the owner. Again, whatever the negotiated percentage is going to be. Okay, that was story number two. Story number three.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. Story number two.
Your share of that bundle has to be equal to a shevakuta.
Okay, we're assuming it is.
Okay.
Okay, good. How starts ya? So we are up to story number three. Story number three, we're in the beer production. Remember back in the good old days, beer was not made with barley. Beer was made with dates. Date beer. So what happens over here is that the man was working the brewery. Now, in this working of the brewery, so what he does is that you have your investor. In other words, the man the capitalist goes over and hands all these dates over to the brewer, and the brewer goes in and makes the beer. And again, they're going to share profits, whatever the negotiated amount is. So over here, what the brewer does is he takes the dates. Now the dates already were washed through the water. So they are kind of, whatever, they're already brewed dates, but he takes the dates and he tries to be a Mekadesh woman with it. Dekadesh bepruma de shechra. Now, asamari de shechra ashkechei. Amar le amai lo teisa mehai charifa. Now, the investor, right, really the owner of the dates, went over to the brewer and said, I can't believe, and right, almost like, not jokingly, obviously, but it was a serious statement. But I can't believe you used those dates. Those dates have already been washed through the water once, even twice. That's the pruma. The pruma are basically the dates that really are kind of like been run through the brewery cycle once to two times. Why did you use those dates? You should have used the better dates. So also the comment to Rava Amar lo amru klach etzol yafos ela leinyan truma bilvad. So over here, in terms of when a person makes a statement that seems to validate the action that was done, that's true when you're being mafish shumas amaisos. And the owner said, and you were being mafish shumas amaisos on behalf of somebody else. And the owner comes in and he validates with the statement of, you know, why did you give the coin those? You should have given him better. So over there, validation of that which you did. In other words, at the time when you did it, wasn't sure. Should I, shouldn't I have done it? It wasn't my produce. Should I have taken off truma? And so with a statement of validation, and the validation statement does, you should have taken from better, that validates with that which you did. Over here, the statement of validation, I don't know. Meaning it could be that the investor was really upset. In other words, those are my dates. I gave the dates to you in order to produce beer, not to be Mekadesh a woman with it. So Ditanya Kate said, Amru Tarim, Shalomi Das Trumasa Truma, Hareshi Ara Lasokhade Havera. Velike Vitarim Shalabir Shosim Choshesh Mishum Gezel, Ain Trumasa Truma, Vim Lav Trumasa Truma, Minaya Yode Yodea, Im Choshesh Mishum Gezel, Im Lav. Hareshi Baba Labai, Samasa Varmlo, Klachet, Soyafos, Im Ninsu Yafos, Mam Trumasa Truma, Vim Lav Ain Trumasa Truma. Hayubal and Malakim Mosifa Menkachum Menkach Trumasa Truma. So over here, I know I read all that quickly, but the point is that there was a validating statement made by the owner. Somebody took off truma from his produce without his permission. He comes back to the field. He makes a validating statement. The validating statement is, good job. I wish you would have taken from the better produce for the Kohen. Right? That's my Kohen. Give him better stuff. So over there, that's a validating statement. So the Gemara says, avahacha. Good. So over there, validating statement, which is validating. But here, mishum kisufu da'avad, so veinu mekudeshes. But over here, the investor comes back and he's kind of shocked. In other words, you took my dates in order to be Mekadosh a woman. I gave those dates for you to brew beer. I didn't give you those dates to go ahead and to be Mekadosh a woman. But in other words, he came back and he was so shocked. Like what's going on over here? And so therefore, in other words, what we do this all the time. I do this. You use humor to try to, you know, to try to bring things down, right? Try to settle things down. Oh my gosh, why did you use those dates? You should have used the better dates. It was a sarcastic comment. It was a comment of humor and sarcasm. You didn't mean it literally. You just can't, like right now, you just can't believe what just happened. So fine. So over here, it was not a validating statement. And so therefore, the kedushin is not a valid kedushin because basically the brewer took the dates without permission, used them for kedushin. You can't do that.
And he was upset because he gave him the better date.
No. The owner was making the sarcastic comment of, why don't you use the better dates? But the Gemara says, but it was, he said it sarcastically.
Right, so and you couldn't use, like, you gave the best dates.
No, he didn't use the best dates. He used
this before. Is this the only place we've had this conversation?
Yes, we had versions of this before. It happened to be the case under review is that he used inferior dates, and he kind of felt like it was okay. But in other words, they weren't his dates. In other words, he was commissioned to make beer, period.
Gave him the best dates. He was upset that you couldn't have given him better.
No. I presented the story correct. I believe I presented it correctly. And it's just now a question of when the owner came back, was he making a validating statement? And the Gemara says, no, he wasn't. In the case of Truma, you're making a validating statement, but over here, it wasn't. It was sarcasm.
Truma, you want
to
give the best, but for the
Truma, when he came back and he said, look, what you did was good, I would have preferred you did even better. Right. There, it was a sincere statement. But over here, it was not sincere. He was really upset that he took his dates. Okay, Adkan. We're going to stop over here tomorrow. We're going to pick it up at the Mishnah. Okay, let's go. A quick review of today's daf. Nun Aleph Amad Aleph. I'm sorry, Nun Beis. I'm still by yesterday. Nun Beis Amad Aleph. So what do? We finished the discussion of Kedushin Shein and Mesurin Labia. You're Mekadosh a woman, but you cannot consummate the marriage. You cannot halachically be with her for whatever halachic consideration. I say whatever, but that's not true. But for various halachic considerations, you cannot be with her. She's a suffik, achos isha, or other such cases. So what do we say under those circumstances? It's a machlokas Abaye and Rava. According to Rava, the kedushin does not take effect. According to Abaye, the kedushin does take effect. And then the Gemara, between yesterday and today, litigated this topic, and we went back and forth on this topic. Most of our attacks were against Rava. Oddly enough, the Gemara concludes, where the halacha will side with Abaye. Six times throughout Shas that the halacha sides like Abaye, this being one of them. Yesterday's daf, today's daf, nun aleph, nun beis, and kedushin. So we have one of the big six where we passing like Abaye, not like Rava. Then we go back to our Mishnah and we concluded today the second half of nun beis amad aleph and the first half of nun beis amad beis. So we just went over the Mishnah and the finer points of the Mishnah. A basket of fruit was used to be mekadosh five women. Two of them were sisters. So the main point of the Mishnah is that the Kedushin with the sisters does not take effect. But there are so many more details in the Mishnah. Rav said four takeaway points that we learned from our Mishnah. And let's just quickly recap the four takeaway points. So we walk away from today's daf with takeaway points. Number one, you can use parashiyos for Kedushin. And even though you can't use the parashiyos for commercial activity, this doesn't fall under the category of commercial activity. You saw me struggle a little bit earlier this morning trying to explain why that is. But it is. Number two, you are mikdash with gezel. It does not work. In other words, the argument you could have made, and by the end of the daf, we figured it out. The argument you could have made is that maybe gzela, yeish ba'alim, he lost hope. He surrendered the item. If the item now belongs to me, I should be able to be mekarsh with it. Right? No, you cannot. You cannot. The gzela that we don't assume yeush and it's not yours, and you can't be mekarsh with it. And the only reason why in the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah gave the specific example, Perishvitz, because who does Perishvitz belong to? Nobody. And so therefore, when you pick it up, you're picking it up from Hefker, it belongs to you. Okay, that's number two. And the third takeaway point is that the a woman who's going to be acting as an agent on behalf of another, that in of itself we already knew from the beginning of the Perek, she's acting on an agent on someone who's going to be her tzara. Maybe that shouldn't work. It does work. That's a third takeaway point. There was a fourth possible takeaway point, but remember, Rav didn't know whether to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav or Abaye. And so, in other words, why can't you also conclude Kedushin Sheinu Mister and Labia is not Kedushin? And the answer is because he doesn't know whether to subscribe to Abaye or Rava. Adkan, and then we concluded today's daf with a series of stories of basically trying to be Mekash, a woman with stolen goods. And the simple conclusion of the Gemara is it doesn't work.